pink smoke is in the air. That means legendary goals.
Oh, it's a cannon shot. Go ahead and give him the goal of the week.
Heroic saves.
Outstanding point blank save. You are denied.
Inter Miami Soccer is on ESPN 106.3.
Gol de Messi.
This is Pink Smoke, brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Welcome on into Pink Smoke, where we talk everything Inter Miami. I am your host, Mike Rizzo. Our co-host and producer, Damian Perez, he is back at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. Myself, I'm at home. I'm back home at the ESPN Cleveland Studios, the beautiful flat studios here in Cleveland. And Dame, don't you love technology? Yeah. Don't you, Damian Perez, don't you love technology?
What's
that
going
we're
on,
able
Mike?
To do this?
Oh, man, it's like you're not here physically, right. But you're here like within, I guess, you just got a presence here, man.
That's what I mean. You got to love technology. Now, Dame, technology failed me earlier today, airplanes specifically. So actually, we could call it Mother Nature. D, I landed in Cleveland at 2:50. It takes 15 minutes. You know me. I've lived here my whole life, bro. I know exactly where I'm going and everything. I got in at 2:50. Show starts at 4. Partner, we taxied for an hour. We actually sat on the runway for an hour.
Oh, wow.
Because it was pouring sideways. We were lucky that we landed, if I'm being honest. That was one of the bumpiest landings we ever had coming in. There were thunderstorms that flew on over Cleveland when we were trying to land. So they couldn't bring the bridge out. So they called it a lightning delay. And like, I was joking around with the people by me. I'm like, yeah, I'm like, you know, I'm getting kind of, you know, long story short, they all knew who the hell I was after that flight because I was late to the show. And they were all listening as I called into the show, and Colin and Christian were making fun of me. So,
I mean, you were late to the show, but at least you got some new audience.
Yeah. Got new listeners. That's for sure. But technology and Mother Nature failed me in that sense earlier today. But D, thrilled to be talking Inter Miami with you as always, partner. Now, I wish it was under better circumstances because there's a lot of conversations about getting rid of the coach, Javier Mascherano. And I want to say this real quick because I think it's too early. Now, at the same time, these results can't continue. The results cannot continue for Javier Mascherano. Loss, draw, loss. Win, loss, loss, loss. Okay? We don't need to go through the last 10. I'll spare you. You've won 3 out of your last 10. And Damian Perez, that is not good enough for a team like Inter Miami who has championship aspirations within the MLS. And I don't think it helps that you got knocked out of the CONCACAF Champions Gold Cup too. I think a lot of people are very upset about that. Dame, Mascherano has had a bad couple of weeks here.
Yeah, man, horrible. I'm right there with you. I think this is probably, since we've started covering Inter Miami, this is probably the worst spot that it's been in. But, I mean, listen, if we take a step back, I know we got eliminated from CONCACAF Champions. I know the month has been horrible. But we're still in a good spot in the MLS championship. If we find ourselves 6th in the Eastern Conference with 1 game back, assuming we win that game, we can jump as far as 2nd place. So I understand things have gone horribly. The team is not responding well. There's questions about Mascherano and what he's doing. But I think I'm at the point where we just got to flip the page and focus on what's coming. Because like you said, getting eliminated from CONCACAF Champions, many would say that was the priority. But we still got the MLS, which is a huge tournament, especially being one that it's like winning the Premier League in England. It's a big tournament still, and we're still in a good spot. So I think it's time we flip the page and we just focus on what's coming.
You obviously would love to be able to crown yourselves the king of North America. That's like the Champions League. The CONCACAF Champions Gold Cup is the Champions League on this side of the hemisphere. That's the best way I could describe it. But to Damian's point, the MLS is probably the most prestigious league this side of the hemisphere. The Liga MXs would argue that. Would you agree, Damian? They'd argue it, but I think it is the MLS.
Yeah, it's definitely A and B and B and A. Whatever your perspective is, I won't think you're crazy for thinking one league is better than the other.
Right. So I think to D's point, whole season's still out in front of you. You got the club. Now, Damian, I got to say, I'm nervous as hell for this team in the Club FIFA World Cup right now. We are June 14th. Inter Miami is going to be doing battle against Al Ahly, the Egyptian top flight side, the top team out of Egypt in that tournament. Dame, they're pretty good, too. I did my homework.
Yep.
Al Ali's pretty good, mate. And, you know,
Five wins in their last five matches.
Dame, I disregarded them. I got to say, I disregarded them at the start. Like, right when I got the schedule, I said, oh, this is Inter-Miami's game to win. Messi's going to have, like, three goals. Two things happened. Number one, I did my homework on the club. They're pretty good and they're well-ran. Number two, it's a state of catastrophe right now with the Herons. There are rumor and D, let's actually get into it. Because I'm about to talk about Lionel Messi here. Let's get into a little Messi mania presented by our good friends at PNC Bank.
It's time for a little Messi mania on Pink Smoke, presented by PNC Bank. The latest match results, highlights, and everything Messi starts now.
So, folks,
brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Learn more at PNC.com. PNC Bank, National Association member FDIC.
So, folks, I, you know, mentioned Lionel Messi, and right now there are a lot of people who are doomsdaying the whole contract renewal thing. Dame, I'm not there yet. Are you?
No. As a matter of fact, I did some digging. So it comes out, like, you know, after the game, they interviewed him, and he did say that there was no progress in the renewal. But it's a little bit, I did a little digging, and I found out that it's a more of an intricate deal. So it takes part with third parties like Amazon, Adidas. So it's going to take more negotiating. It's not something that's going to happen within, it's in the works, but it's more of a process. So not to sound any alarms, but that was taking way out of context.
And I agree. I'm not overreacting. Let's call it that. I'm not overreacting. And Inter-Miami just got spanked 3-0 in the game too, Damian. I don't think that helps either.
Not the best timing to ask the question either.
And Messi arguably has been upset since the New York Red Bulls game. Damian, they won 4-1, and Messi was upset after the game.
And he's shown that frustration.
So I think it's a tough time with the club. You know it's a tough time with the club when Inter-Miami makes the ESPN.com homepage. Did you see this the other day, Damian?
I did.
And the title read, Messi pleads Inter-Miami and Herons must come together during this tough stretch. And I'm completely fine with Messi saying something like that.
Yeah. I mean, he's the leader. He's the Captain America of this team. You know, if he's going to show some vulnerability, that's going to really just kind of ooze within the rest of the squad. So he's got to have that confidence. He's got to call for the fans to unite in what's probably the toughest moment since he's gotten to Inter-Miami.
Yep, and he's played well, too. Like, I know the team is struggling, Damian. I don't think it has anything to do with the great one. Like, Messi, he's always going to have the ball on his foot, and he's always going to be dangerous. The issue, I think, right now is that they're way too one-dimensional right now. I sent you and Elias Bustamante, our good buddy, over at 760 AM Deportes. I sent you guys a tweet from a fellow Inter-Miami fan. And he said, I said it a long time ago, and it holds true. Every team has figured Inter-Miami out. Exploit the wings, block the middle, pray Messi doesn't pull off something magical, and hit Inter-Miami on the counter. Damian, teams are letting Inter-Miami have the ball for the better half. Like, when you look at the possession stats after the game, you're seeing 65% to 70% of the time Inter-Miami is on the ball. Teams are fine with that right now. Teams are completely okay with Inter-Miami having the ball because, number one, there's not a lot of goal-scoring opportunities coming up. Now, contrary to what I just said, there are a lot of chances in that first half, Damien, against Orlando FC.
Yeah. I believe for the first 40 minutes, I mean, you can say that Inter-Miami was kind of dominating every aspect of that game.
And that's why it was so unfortunate when Inter-Miami decided to argue a call. And listen, if you guys think I'm being harsh, that's fine. I'm going to be completely transparent here, though. I think it's Bush League that Inter-Miami gave up the goal they did before the half. I understand. And Damian, you think Inter-Miami was completely in the right to argue that. But at the same time, Damian, we got a game going on,
that's,
man.
And that's the thing. Inter-Miami, you can argue that was the wrong call. The ref should have reviewed it with VAR because it was a pass back. It was a pass back that the center back kind of let go and the keeper picked up. But nonetheless, like you were saying, Inter-Miami shouldn't fall to those traps. You know, if you can't just absolutely shut down if a referee doesn't make a call. You have to still play the game. especially with there being VAR, like the game can go on and VAR will look at it. So you just got to stay focused. And to your point, this is something that Inter Miami has struggled with a lot. It's those immature mistakes, those laps of just losing focus that just we just absolutely shoot ourselves in the foot and put ourselves in a hole.
And like right before the half, there's something about scoring right before the half too. All the momentum was with Orlando FC. And Damian, Inter Miami was late to the pitch in the second half.
Not the first time that it happens either.
They were late to the pitch. I mean, the clock read zeros. And Javier Mascherano's group and the boys weren't even out on the field. I don't know, man. I'm trying not to doomsday here on Pink Smoke and Messy Mania presented by our good friends at PNC. But I got a lot of questions. And our fan, the tweet, and by the way, the fan account is at Inter Miami CF Hub. You know, sometimes they say some things that I don't agree with that are a little egregious, but at the same time, I think this guy is completely right here. Exploit the wings, block the middle, and pray Lionel Messi doesn't pull anything off magical.
Yeah, Mike, and if we look ahead to the three games before the Club World Cup, it's three very tough games, being Philadelphia and Philly, Montreal at home, which is not the toughest game, but right after that, that's on a Wednesday. On that Saturday, we play Columbus in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah, so, and Dame, let's remember that we're at home. We should Dame check that fixture.
You're correct.
Should,
you're right.
Yeah, because we played in.
we beat them 1-0 in Columbus. That's right.
No. Dame, we beat them 1-0. Where I am at a mile down the road at Cleveland Brown Stadium,
right, that's
or
right.
Huntington Bank, whatever Dog the hell. Pound. I've been away so long, I don't even know what the hell we call the stadium anymore. Neither here nor there.
Shador's new house.
Yeah, how about that? How about that? Oh God. Shador's new house. I hope it's going to be Shador's new house. Let's put it that way. And anyway,
let's not get derailed here.
Yeah, the home fixture, Deep. The home fixture, I think, is crucial there.
Oh, both of them.
But at the same time, you won that game 1-0. And Damian, I think, I'm going to have a little hot take here. I think that's when everything, that fixture, Damian, is what started the spiral. Do you want to know why? How many chances did Columbus have in that second half, Dame? Their XG after that game was like 4. Now, I'm not necessarily one that's a Poindexter stat geeking XG. I think XG has its moments. I think XG can also lead to other bad conversations where it's not. It let's just put it this way: it's not
out
really,
of context. Yes, it's taken out of context.
Yes, exactly. But I think it was completely fair, the XG against Columbus that they had against Inter Miami. D, we were hanging out for dear life to that 1-0 lead.
Yeah, I mean, and I can remember just off the top of my head that Diego Rossi I don't understand how he missed it. It was harder to miss it than to score it. But
and then he skied one.
Yep.
So there were, I say, the wheels fell off the train in that second half. Because if you go down the fixture line.
Yeah, no, literally, since that game, what is it? 5 losses, 1 win, and 1 tie.
Yeah. Dame, it was that second half. Kromoski had him and Jordy, I think it was Jordy Alba and Benjamin Kromoski, they hooked up for that sick header goal. And it was an unreal goal, worldly goal. And after that, Inter Miami played on their heels for the rest of the second half. And the fixtures. You lost 2-0 to Vancouver. You lost 4-3 to Dallas. You lost 3-1 to Vancouver. You got knocked out of the Gold Cup after that. And then I don't need to go through the recent fixtures because I'm just going to make myself angry at this point with Minnesota United, San Jose, and Orlando Orlando
and
City.
And three at home. That's the tough part because it's one thing having to travel to, I don't know, Vancouver, Minnesota. Those are far travel. So like it's understandable if you're going to drop points on the road. But it's the ones at home that I feel like just hurt the most.
And listen, I know everyone's frustrated. The building over at Inter Miami is frustrated. When you have Messi and you have expectations and you have streaks like this, it's unacceptable. But I told you I think it's way too early to fire Javier Mascherano. I'm not there yet. I think Javier, and maybe I'm thinking about the player. Because like Damian, we grew up watching Mascherano at Liverpool and Barcelona. Like, I know Mascherano.
And I loved
him
as a player.
Yeah.
Loved him as a player. And he's just so easy to root for.
All of their coach. You go back to when he was coached by Pep Guardiola. Pep always said he was one of the most tactically sounded
coachable.
Coachable, knew the game, What did they call him? El Jefecito?
Yep.
So, I mean, dude, I want to give him a chance, but Dame, you got to change how you're going to play. You can't keep rolling out there with the same game plan.
And that's the thing. One thing I will criticize Mascherano, and don't get me wrong. I don't think he should be fired, but he's done things his way. He came in and bench calendar. Toto Avilés hasn't seen the field in I don't know how long. He had Chelo out there playing over Ian Frey when he was in great form. So it's kind of like you can say he did things his way, and when things don't go your way, there's going to be criticism.
Right.
And that's where we're at right now.
And the guys playing out of position is another big thing. Like Noah Allen, a lifelong fullback, is playing center back. Gonzalo Lewan, a lifelong center back, is playing fullback.
Kromaski on the wing.
Benjamin Kromaski, who is a central midfielder, attacking midfielder, is playing right wing. Telasco Segovia playing striker. Segovia should be centralized as a midfielder with the ball at his feet, setting guys up, hitting guys on the counter, getting the ball back outside the box and ripping a finesse. Am I missing something here? Like that's what I get on Mascherano for. And I also, and not to keep circling back around to it, but the lack of changing, Damien, that's any sport for me, mate.
Adjustments. You got to make adjustments.
Dame, that's any sport for me. That's how you lose me, is when I see the same thing every single game. Every single game, every single fixture, every match. We've seen the same thing from Inter Miami. D, they could be in a 4-2-3-1. They could be in a 4. They could be in a 4-4-2. You know, Mascherano has kind of changed things around a bit. Where you've been going, you started with 4-3-3 to start the year. It worked out great. You went into a little bit of a rut. You changed to a 4-4-2. You changed to a 4-2-3-1. You went back to the 4-4-2. You went back to a 4-3. Like,
you need to have continuity too.
Yeah,
there needs to be some sense of continuity. I mean, even in the back line is very important. You got to know what your guys are thinking. You got to know each other, like the back of your hand. And there's been too much rotation. Like you said, too many players playing out of position. And it exposes Inter Miami when they play a team who's been together for a long time, like Vancouver, like Columbus, and they just absolutely dominate you after 40 minutes.
You look at any soccer club. You look at any professional soccer club. To that point, piggybacking off of that, D, you have your household names that you play at center back, right back. And listen, I'm not trying to say Tata, you know, the former manager. Listen, he had his guys, and it worked. They damned 73 points on the MLS table. Did they get knocked out of the Gold Cup earlier than Mascherano? Absolutely. But he knew his guys, and the guys trusted him. Did it not work out in the MLS playoffs? Did you get bounced out?
But Inter Miami
round?
Was the better team in those games. Inter Miami dominated Atlanta. It just didn't. If you remember Guzman, whatever his name is, the goalkeeper for Atlanta.
Guzan, yep.
Guzan, he had probably the best game of his career against Inter Miami. Both legs.
Yep.
And that's not something we see this year. Inter Miami is not the better team on the field. And it's surprising, and it's starting to get concerning.
Yeah. And then, Tata, and I know he put in his he put in his resignation for personal reasons. But at the same time, Tata had his guys and he trusted them. Now, Dame, another thing I wanted to bring your attention was the players that they sold off. A lot of fans aren't happy that they sold off some of those players. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Diego Gomez, for example, there was no holding on to him.
I'm talking the recent ones, the academy boys that they've gotten rid of recently.
Yeah, Robert Taylor, he's somebody who's, if you're looking at it from a fan's perspective, he's been there through it all, through the worst of it, through the transition. And even last year, when Messi came to Inter Miami, Robert Taylor was one of the first ones to click, and that was in a lot of games. So I completely understand why people would be upset. But at the same time, I mean, you got players who you brought in, like Tadeo Allende, Telasco Segovia, and I know Segovia's a midfielder, but when you bring in talent, you got to let some go. You got to let some go. And to be honest, it might be better for Robert Taylor, too, because
right.
I don't think Mascherano had him in his plans. And
no.
Whether I agree with that or not, it's just the fact. I don't think Robert Taylor was going to get a lot of minutes with Inter Miami.
And I, to play devil's advocate here, maybe he should have been in the plan.
I mean, he's always been reliable. Every time Robert Taylor stepped on the field for Inter Miami, he produced or he at least played well.
Yeah, I've been seeing that in comments and people reaching out to me via social media. If it be, you know, in my our live stream on the English side, D, I know you guys do a bunch of live streams on your Deporte side as well for the games with the great Leo Vega. I hear it all. You know, I hear it all, and I got to bring it to everyone's attention because in the end of the day, we're all fans. We're all fans of this great club, and we all want the one thing, and that is for Inter Miami to be successful.
Yeah, Gressel's another one. Gressel's another one.
Another academy kid.
While players like Telasco Segovia, they might be more talented, Gressel was just so reliable. You know, every time he played, he wouldn't give you the best game, but he would give you a good game.
Dame, you forgot he was on the team.
Right, yeah.
You honest to God, this year, you forgot he was on the team.
And it's like that with Toto Avilés, too. I mean, Toto Avilés started 80% of games last year. While I know he was young, he made a lot of mistakes. Tata Martinez, he trusted Toto Avilés and started him about 80% of the games. And to be honest, I thought Toto Martinez was better than Luján, for example.
Big time.
Those are the questions. That's why we question Mascherano, because he's kind of came in and he's just done it his way. And when you do things your way, you know, there's going to be criticism.
And obviously the big four, you're going to start them no matter what. The big four is in the lineup no matter what with Busquets, Suarez, Messi, Alba. They're still amongst the best in the MLS. Now, I think Busquets, Dame, might have lost a step from last year to this year. Other than that, like let's put it this way. I'm not getting on Sergio and saying
that position is very tough when the team is not playing well.
It is. And you know, and listen, Sergio, I give him credit because Dame, he has no legs left. Let's call a spade a spade. Serge has no legs left, but he's still out there fighting tooth and nail. Getting back on defense, crafty with the way he beats guys to the spot and intercepts the ball.
Him and Diaba.
Listen, my buddies go, Riz, I'll tell you what, Busquets has certainly lost a step, but you could tell how good of a player he is because how foxy he is on the defensive end. And not to mention
he holds it all together.
His lob passes too. But Dame, I maybe this is something we talk about when we come back from a timeout. But I think I mentioned the tweet that I was reading from that account of how to beat Inter Miami. I think another thing, Dame, just run. You know, the old legs of Inter Miami, I feel like we're getting run off the pitch on the counter. Like we brought up that Inter Miami's getting beat on the counter. I think a lot of it has to do with some of the younger legs, especially in the Western Conference, too. Now, I know Orlando. Listen, let's give Orlando City some credit, too, with Muriel and Ojeda. Those guys were unreal. Ojeda should have had two goals in the game. He skied an opportunity. But folks, that was Messi Mania, where we go through the big kind of newsish, notes-ish stuff with the team. We usually play highlights, but folks, Damian Perez and I, we made the executive decision, Dame, we didn't have any highlights.
Unless the people like, want Orlando City highlights, but I don't think they're here for that.
We didn't have any highlights. I had three highlights of Messi almost scoring, and I quite frankly didn't think it was worth it. But folks, PNC Bank, they are the official sponsor of Pink Smoke. PNC Bank does things the boring way, but I'll tell you what, they are masterminds at making you money and doing the boring work of banking for you. Visit your local PNC branch today. PNC Bank, brilliantly boring. When we come back, we'll hit that injury report presented by Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Frongrath, and we'll continue our conversations right here on Pink Smoke.
This is Pink Smoke, brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Rolling on along on Pink Smoke. Did a little Messi Mania presented by our good friends at PNC. Not the mania, I think, that we want for our Inter Miami Herons. More like uncertainty as of late. Herons, winners of three in their last 10. They're 1-7 in their last 8. So not the line of fixtures we want for our Herons, but productive conversations, I think Damian Perez and I had. You can listen back to our show, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Type in Pink Smoke. You can listen to that first segment where, you know, D, I think, like I said, it was productive conversations of how we think Mascherano can improve, how we need to see some sort of change, and maybe stop playing some players out of position. Do you think the gaffer is listening to the show? I don't think so, Dame. I don't think so.
Yeah, I hope. I mean, we needed to get that out. It's been it's not been a few. This hasn't been a few games. It's been a whole month.
Yeah.
You know. So, and again, we're not here calling for Mascherano to be fired.
We made that abundantly clear.
Yeah, we've said what we feel, what we've seen, what we've analyzed, and we're moving on. We still have faith in this team. We still have faith in Mascherano. And like I said, we're still in a good position in the Eastern Conference table and one game back. Assuming that game goes our way, we could be as high as two.
And Dame, speaking of looking forward and moving on, let's move on to the fixture against the Philadelphia Union at 7:30. Let's check out the injury report presented by Lytle Rider, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath.
Now it's time for the Inter-Miami Injury Report, presented by Lytle Rider, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath.
And now a fight for it, one right back by Inter-Miami.
Lytle Rider, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath, representing injured people and their families for more than 35 years. Visit foryourrights.com.
Foryourrights.com, Lytle Rider, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath are your people. If you have been injured in South Florida, visit foryourrights.com. Well, Dame, rolling on along with the injury report, Baltasar Rodriguez, once again, that hamstring. Dame, I'm seeing mid-June here.
Yeah.
It
was a re-aggravation. So usually when you re-aggravate your hamstring, it's probably twice the timetable that it originally was.
Yeah, not what I wanted to hear.
No, and especially the first ball he touches.
Yeah.
You know, he produced a goal. And that's all we got from him. So that's a tough one. That's definitely a tough one.
So the young Argentinian, he came on over from Racing, a team from the top flight league over there in Argentina, one of the better teams in Argentina. But Baltasar Rodriguez, with that hamstring, going to be out until mid-June. Damien and I are very, very excited once he is going to be healthy and available consistently for the Herons. David Ruiz, same thing, hamstring. He is dealing with a hammy early June for David Ruiz.
This one's taking a while, David Ruiz.
Yeah, and Dame, how important do you think he is for this team to be available and fit?
He hasn't been with the squad since Cavalier on March 13th. That's how long it's been. And while he's not, you know, a starter, somebody that regularly starts, he's a great rotational player. He's someone that when he comes in gives you great minutes. And in those games where they're close or we got a slight lead, he's a great player to put in and kind of hold that lead and defensively play sound and very disciplined.
Now, the last person on the Inter-Miami side, Drake Callender. And Dame, we actually have some news about a new goalkeeper coming on in the building to Inter-Miami. Welcome on in, William Yarborough. He is a player who has gotten some time with the United States national team, a Mexican-American player. Dame, what do you make of the signing? Needed to do it, right?
I don't know if we needed to do it.
But hang on. With how bad Ustari? So my two cents.
Yeah, my thing is not Ustari. It was, I feel like the minutes that Novo gave us early in the season, I think it was in the preseason, I thought he was pretty good. I mean, it's always good to bring in a keeper of his caliber. You know, 36 years old, a lot of experience. He's played with the national team. He's Mexican-born. It's always good to bring in that goalkeeper with experience, especially having the World Cup right ahead of us. But I don't know how many minutes he'll get. I mean, I still think Mascherano's going to stick with Ustari.
Dame, Rocco Rios Novo, who you alluded to, he's young. I think this is a move by Mascherano. He wants a veteran in here. I think he knows the pressure is a bit on him right now, and I think he knows the pressure is on for this team to produce results before the Club FIFA World Cup. And let's call a spade, Dame. Oscar Ustari has been dreadful.
Yeah.
He's been terrible. And I tiptoed around it last week, tiptoed around it the week before. The last three fixtures from Oscar Ustari are not good enough. And I think at this point, if Javier Mascherano wants to put somebody else in there, he'd rather go with a veteran like William Yarborough, who's got a lot more professional minutes than Rocco Rios Novo, he's an unknown. Would we agree on that, Dame?
Rios
Novo, an unknown?
Yeah, he's an absolute unknown, but at the end of the day, he's a young player, like you said, and he's a prospect. You know, those players you kind of have to develop. While I know you made a great point, the pressure right now that Inter-Miami has, it's a bit higher. I don't know if they probably would have made this signing if Inter-Miami didn't go on this losing streak.
Yep.
But Nonetheless, always good to add players and players with experience.
Also, speaking of, you know, the transfer and signees, rather, Jordi Alba is signed through Dame 2027.
Correct.
So Jordi Alba signed through 2027. He's going to be in an Inter Miami jersey for the next couple of years. Now, we were told that this has nothing to do with the great one, Lionel Messi. Dame, ask me if this has something to do with Lionel Messi.
Does it have something to do with Lionel Messi, Mike?
Absolutely. I don't think Alba signs contract without Messi.
That's it right there.
Like, yes.
That's it.
Yes.
End of conversation.
Yes.
Nobody is going to renew if they... Well, I'm not going to say nobody. Jordi Alba, Sergio Busquets, Luis Suarez, they won't renew if Messi says, listen, I think I'm out of here, guys.
That's what I mean.
Unless he's pulling a Kevin Durant, which I don't think is happening.
No.
There's no way they would re-sign if Messi says, I'm out of here.
That's why I can't give any, like, thought into the gossip of Messi, like, not being happy and wanting to leave. Like, Messi is going to be the ambassador of the World Cup in the United States next year. Yep. We agree on this, right? Yep. I understand. Listen, I'm the biggest United States men national team fan out there. I hope Pochettino and company figure it out, and I hope those players on that roster. And Damian, I asked you earlier if Mascherano is listening. I hope the guys who are on the United States roster are listening to this. Play for the front of the jersey, not for the back of the jersey. Okay, I hope the men's national team hears that, because as a super fan of the team, I want to see the guys compete for the front of the jersey, not for the back of the jersey. Back to the matter at hand. Lionel Messi is going to be the face of the World Cup next year. Argentina defending champs 4 years ago back in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia? Do I have that right?
Was it Qatar?
Qatar. Okay. Defending champ from Qatar. Everybody is going to want to buy a ticket to see Messi and Ronaldo. Let's throw Cristiano in there as well. All right. Cristiano Ronaldo is going to be here in the States as well. You think Messi wants to be one-upped? I don't think so. This is Messi, right? Miami's Messi's town.
Yeah, and it also, at the age Messi's at, family plays a big factor.
It does.
If the kids start a life here, if the wife has businesses here, they're not just going to leave after 1 year. That plays a big factor into his decision.
And I hear they love Miami.
Yeah, well, who wouldn't?
I hear they love living in South Florida. And listen, I hear they love living in the United States and South Florida. Okay? I don't want to get into too deep into Messi's personal life because that's his business. But, Dame, I remember reading an egregious story of Argentinian, like, gang members vandalizing a store that Lionel Messi
the thing. They asked him about going back to his boyhood club in Argentina, and that was his main concern, safety. And, I mean, it's a valid concern, you know.
It is, yeah.
You don't have the safety that you have here in America. Messi can go to Publix. And while, you know, a few people might come up to him, he could still have a regular life here in Miami.
Totally.
In Argentina, that's not possible.
No, it's not. And I think
walking God in Argentina.
He is. And I could argue he's a walking God here.
Yeah,
but your point, I feel like even in the States, you kind of have enough respect to let a guy,
yes,
you know, go to the store.
It's different. In Argentina,
right.
I mean, he steps foot outside his house. And it's a wrap. I don't know how people find out, but
well, yeah,
they even walk to the corner probably.
Dame, you are, I try to master this every time because you've told me like three times. Uruguayo. I forget the O every time. You are Uruguayo, so you know how big soccer is in South America,
especially with
Argentina too.
It's like, literally religion, and I'm not even like. Like, it's not a hyperbolic statement to say that. You eat, sleep, and breathe it.
Folks, that was the Inter Miami Injury Report presented by Lytle Ryder Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath. Visit foryourrights.com, foryourrights.com if you have been injured in the South Florida area, foryourrights.com. Dane, continuing on that conversation, how upset do you think is a country like Brazil, even your home country, Uruguay, are you guys upset that Argentina raised the World Cup trophy?
Oh man, yeah. You have.
Does it hurt? Is that a shot to the chest?
It does hurt, but at the same time, I'm a big Messi fan.
How can't you be, right?
While it hurt, there was also that silver lining where Messi finally got one. The one player that you can say deserved to win a World Cup finally got one, And the way he did it, too, was amazing. I mean, you could pretty much say he carried that squad. You take Messi away from that team, they're not winning that World Cup.
No, they're not. So, and Dame, I'm like you. I like Lionel Messi. But you know my fandom on the European side. And you know the guy I grew up watching wearing red. God, it wouldn't it be poetic?
That was a big blow for him.
Wouldn't it be poetic justice though if like Portugal figures out the way to win it with like wouldn't that be great for soccer? Would that not be great for soccer to have Messi win it 4 years ago
for the narrative?
Ronaldo win it his final time with the club.
Objectively speaking, or subjectively speaking, no.
Sure.
No, okay. Absolutely not. Objectively speaking, for the narrative, I mean, yeah, it would be amazing. But at the same time, you have to look at the way he does it.
Yeah.
Because if Ronaldo wins a World Cup and he wins it the way he won the Euros, where he was on the bench for, the last game,
He got hurt.
But still, you took Ronaldo off that squad and they still did it. I don't think Argentina would have done that if you take Messi off that squad.
No, you don't. You don't. Now, listen. We're Pink Smoke, presented by our good friends at PNC, and I love Lionel Messi. But there are a couple of favorable calls for that Argentina team, 2D, which we're not going to go too deep into. But you know I got a bone to pick with some of that stuff that happened over there at the Qatar. But certainly, listen, Messi was the best player at the World Cup. He was the best player. No ifs, ands, or buts. He was the best player. And it came off of a loss to Saudi Arabia. Remember their first fixture, Argentina lost to Saudi Arabia. The prince, and listen.
And in the group stage, they were almost eliminated by Mexico. It was a very close game, but they pulled it off at the end.
And D, more on that Saudi Arabia story. And listen, if I got the gentleman's position wrong in politics, I believe it was the prince of Saudi Arabia. He brought all of them Ferraris. Bought them all sports cars for beating Lionel
Messi.
Every
single player on that team. Yep.
Received a sports car when they went home. They got a hero's welcome home.
I mean,
it didn't matter that they won another game. They beat Messi in Argentina.
That was a title for them.
They went back saying
they beat Argentina and Messi.
And they won. Argentina went on to win the World Cup. I think they're the only team that could say, hey, we beat the World Cup champions in 2021.
And if you remember, Argentina was coming into that game with a unprecedented win streak. I don't remember what the number was, but I know it was something crazy. They came into that game on a crazy win streak, and everybody was talking about this win streak they were on, blew it first game of the World Cup, which could have worked to their favor, and they got it off their back.
And they were the number ones in the power rankings for FIFA at the time. Mm-hmm. You know how FIFA does their country power rankings heading into these tournaments? They were number one by far. Folks, bit sidetracked there, but still great conversation. Pink Smoke, where we talk everything Inter-Miami and Messi related. We'll preview that fixture against Philadelphia coming up on Saturday. By the way, I will be back home in West Palm for that game coming up on Saturday. I will be getting the pregame show at 7 p.m. Pregame show at 7 p.m. Brought to you by Audi, coming your way on Saturday for the Philadelphia Union. But we will also go around. The reason I bring up Audi, we will go around the MLS presented by Audi up next on Pink Smoke.
This is Pink Smoke, brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Welcome on back, folks, to Pink Smoke, our final segment. We're going to take a look around the MLS here coming up in just a second. But that is presented by our good friends at Audi. Folks, visit your local South Florida Audi dealer today. Test drive the brand new Q6 e-tron. Pull into that lot at Chase Stadium in style with the new Q6 e-tron. A beautiful electric vehicle. State-of-the-art electric vehicle, that Q6 e-tron. Dame, let's do a little around the MLS with Audi.
Now, it's time to go around the MLS, presented by your local South Florida Audi dealerships. Test drive the new Q6 e-tron today at your local South Florida Audi dealer, or visit AudiOffers.com to learn more.
Around the MLS, as we said, brought to you by Audi. Philadelphia the Union. Look no further, Damian Perez, than the Eastern Conference and the Philadelphia Union. They are in first place. Now, they have the same amount of points as FC Cincinnati. But how about this goal differential? Plus 13.
Wow.
Plus 13. And for those of you who aren't familiar with goal differential, it's how many goals they have outscored their opponent in every game of the year.
To give you a little bit more context, second place, plus 4. Third place, plus 8. So a big difference there.
How about Orlando City, too? Now, listen, I don't mean to doomsday here. You know, obviously, Inter Miami just lost to Orlando City. They're plus 11.
We helped with that.
Oh, my God.
Unfortunately, we helped with that.
Three. They got a full 3. Inter Miami didn't score a goal in the game. But Muriel and Ojeda, I mentioned, doing some great things for Orlando City. And Dame, remind me the competition that Orlando City was playing in. I think it's the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
Dude, I'll tell you what. They struggled to begin the year in the MLS. They found something in that tournament and have brought it back to the MLS. They've been hot as
Mike,
a stove.
They actually play today. So they beat Inter Miami in Miami 3-0 on a week where it was you could say there was a short turnaround. They played 2 days, 7:30 against Nashville at home.
And I guarantee you Ojeda and Muriel will be starting up top. They got legs for days, that Orlando City team. Fun little club. You know, let's hope our Inter Miami Herods could get some sweet revenge later on in the year against those that team in purple. But Philadelphia, 29 points. FC Cincinnati, 29. The Crew, 27. Damian alluded to Inter Miami's next couple of fixtures going to be tough. You're going to be facing two of the top three on the Eastern Conference at Philadelphia and Columbus in your next three fixtures. So, no rest, Damian, no rest for the weary with Javier Mascherano. He's going to have to figure things out here pretty quick.
Not at all. And the game against Columbus comes after a short week because we play Montreal at home on that Wednesday. So a 3-day turnaround.
Nashville in fourth place with 24 points. Orlando City with 24. They got the full 3 and jumped Inter Miami. Inter Miami was 5 heading into match week number 15 in the MLS. And then with the loss and lose and getting no points, Orlando City was able to jump them.
They do have a game in hand, though. That's important.
NYCFC, 21 points. And Charlotte, Dame, how about Charlotte, Dame? How about Charlotte? They won 5 games in a row, and then they lost 5 games in a row.
Yeah, Zaha.
So Charlotte.
Zaha effect.
Yeah, come on. That's toxic. That's toxic, Damian Perez.
No, yeah, you can't blame Zaha. I mean, he when he came in, he did some damage to Inter Miami. So.
Yeah, he did. But listen, that was the game where Asu Ustari picked up the red. Oh,
yep.
God.
Yep,
oh,
and
God.
It was against Zaha.
Let's flip it over to the Western Conference. Vancouver, they've drawn their last 2 within the MLS. Now, Dame, I got to look at the CONCACAF Champions Cup. What is going on there? They trying to figure out what happened in their first fixture.
No, I don't think they played it.
They
yet.
Haven't played.
No,
yet.
June 1st. June 1st is the first leg.
I was about to say because I was very interested. Now they played the Canadian Championship, and they drew that yesterday. Dame, I to be honest, I got to plead the 5th. Did not know that was a thing. But
this is news to me as well. But I guess it's their form of the U.S. Cup.
Fair enough, and. Vancouver, certainly a great team this year. I mean, they're number 1 in the Western Conference.
I believe they got the top goal scorer, too.
Yeah, 14 on the goal differential. We were waxing poetically about 13 on the Eastern Conference side for the Union. They have 14. Brian White has 8. Damian, I believe, Arango for San Jose. Chichi Arango, I think against Inter Miami, he had a goal, which made it 9, and I think he has a golden boot. And, folks, once again, this is Around the MLS, brought to you by our local South Florida Audi dealer. Visit your local South Florida Audi dealer today and test drive the new Q6 e-tron. So I have the golden boot race up right now in the MLS. The golden boot, top goal scorer, Ty Baribo with 11.
Wow.
And then Christian Arango. I was right on Arango. He's got 9, Damian. And then Brian White for Vancouver has 8. How about San Jose, dude? Listen to San Jose real quick. The team Inter Miami just drew 2 matchups ago. Espinoza. Christian Espinoza has 6 assists. He leads the MLS. And then Christian Arango has 9 goals, 2nd in the MLS.
I mean, as a team, they have 29 total goals.
Crazy,
perspective, Vancouver has 24. Now, they've allowed 23, but they do score a lot.
And then we were talking about the Purple People Eaters, Orlando City. Martin Ojeda has 11 goal and assist contributions. So getting it done on multiple levels, Martin Ojeda for Orlando City. But let's get back to that, Western Conference. Vancouver with 28 points, Minnesota United with 25, San Diego with 24, Portland with 23, Los Angeles with 25, 22, Los Angeles turning it around a bit, D. They started slow. They were below the playoff belt for a little bit to start the year, but LAFC, who gave Inter-Miami everything they had in that CONCACAF Champions Cup, they're sitting at fifth with 22 points. The Seattle Sounders in sixth place with 20. The Rapids, seventh and ninth with 19. And then San Jose, who got the draw against Inter-Miami, has 18. Austin FC with 18. Those are your playoff. Remember, folks, the MLS playoffs, top nine teams in the Eastern and the Western Conference, Vancouver, Minnesota, San Diego, Portland, LAFC, Seattle, Colorado, San Jose, Austin. Those are your nine teams on the Western Conference front. Your nine teams on the Eastern Conference front: Philadelphia, Cincinnati, Columbus, Nashville, Orlando, Inter-Miami, New York, Charlotte, and Chicago. Inter-Miami has seen the following teams, by the way. They've seen Chicago. They drew. They saw Charlotte. They won. They saw NYCFC. They drew. They saw Orlando. They lost. Haven't seen Nashville yet. They saw Columbus 1-1 to nothing. Haven't seen FC Cincinnati yet. They saw Philadelphia and won. So, Dame, I understand that right now we're doomsday in a bit with the club, but those are great results against good opponents that are the top nine teams in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah,
would
and
you agree?
That's another good point. I mean, you can make the argument that Inter-Miami kind of got the tough patch, per se, of the schedule out of the way. You know, we played Columbus. We're about to play Philly for a second time. We played San Jose. We played Vancouver. So you can make the argument that Inter-Miami got the tougher teams out of the way. Now let's hope it gets easier moving forward.
And Dame, they've struggled with the Western Conference. And I mentioned to you before the break.
Got a lot to do with traveling.
That, and I think, Dame, these Western Conference teams have legs for days, man. They get Inter-Miami out on the counter and they get out on the break. And that's how they score goals. I mean, Vancouver did that. Minnesota United ran us off the pitch. You saw Los Angeles, LAFC, do it to an extent, almost beat Inter-Miami in the who had the shot? Dame, remember Oscar Ustari had a big save late in that home fixture against LAFC. Kid went near post. Damien, if he kicks it anywhere but near post, Inter-Miami's not advancing. But he went near post and Ustari stonewalled him. Regardless, San Jose, they get on another break. Outside of Houston, FC Dallas, Damien, another Western Conference teams.
We were up 3-1 against them.
And that was at home. Inter-Miami has struggled against Western Conference teams.
While we're on the topic of Western Conference team, and I know we just did around the MLS.
Sure.
Really quickly, man, can we really just have an update on LA Galaxy and what's going on with their season? 0 wins, 4 ties, 10 losses. They're coming off tying their rival LAFC and El Tráfico, I think it's called. And this is the team that won the MLS Cup last year.
El Tráfico. That's actually very witty.
I mean,
4 points on the table, Damien. They have 4 points on the table.
10 losses.
0 wins.
It's just...
That's 0 wins. Did they sack their manager?
No, they actually renewed him last week.
Oh, my God.
They signed him to an extension last week.
How doesn't he get the sack?
Unbelievable, right?
Marco Royce has been struggling.
But he's healthy. I mean, they're missing Ricky Puig, but, I mean, how much can Ricky Puig do?
Yeah, Christian Ramirez has been solid. He's their top goal scorer this year. Damien, I don't know, mate. That's one of those things. I heard Manchester United played a game today, Damien. It's one of those things where it's like, you know, you can't explain it. A top-tier club like that has no business being that poor. So I have more questions than answers. Is that fair to say, Damien, about LA?
You got 2 minutes to vent, Mike.
I have more questions than answers with LA. I have 2 minutes to vent. Who are you talking about, brother?
About Manchester United.
Yeah, who are you talking about?
Oh, you're talking about
that
LA.
Team.
Oh,
that okay. team. You're talking about Manchester United. Dame, listen, for those of you out there in the South Florida area, I'm a huge United fan. I've been a United fan since like probably 2005, 2006, before Ronaldo. Like, Dame, you haven't beat an English team since March 16th. What the hell did you think was going to happen? This is what happens when you disregard your own league. Manchester United is 16th on the MLS table, or on the champion, gosh, all over the place.
Premier League
table. 16th. Tottenham, who won it, is 17th. Disgraceful on both sides. But United doesn't beat English teams. And Ruben Amorim's got a lot of work to do. You're not only not going to be playing in Europe next year, you're only going to be playing Premier League games. I'm excited about Matthijs Cunha coming through the door. That's about it, though. Folks, this has been Pink Smoke. We will catch up with you guys next week when I am live back in South Florida. We'll see you later. Bye.